Let's pray.
Oremos.
Father, it's so good to pray to you. Enter in, Father.
Entra en tu presencia, Señor. Oramos, Señor, que
we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and as you
que les des ojos a mirar y oídos para oír.
Father, I depend completely on your Holy Spirit.
Señor, dependemos en el Espíritu Santo que nos enseñe, Señor. Dirígelos en la verdad, Señor. Enseña lo que necesitamos que mirar ahora. Danos nuestro pan de cada día. Oramos en eso en el nombre de Jesucristo. Tú sabes lo que necesitamos. En el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén.
I appreciate y'all being here.
Me agradezco que ustedes estén aquí.
Every week, but I mean it every week. It's good to assemble with you. It is,
es un placer convivir con ustedes. Es un comandamiento de Dios. Y es algo es requerido para el reino de los cielos.
Join with you in praising our Lord and our God.
Es un placer estar.
Kind of a quiet morning, it seems like to me. You know, kind of a peaceful, easy thing. It's not quite what I expected. I kind of had in mind to yell a little bit today. I don't think I'm going to. I don't usually. But I did have in mind that I was going to get loud a little bit. I thought, man, that's some good stuff. Might get there. I don't know.
Last week, we
looked at the first anointing of day.
We're going to continue
for a while. I don't know how long. It would be great, I think, if we were able to get through a large portion, if not all, of the life of David, the high points at least, and glean what we could from his example. So much is written about David, more than any other Old Testament figure. There has to be a reason for that. It must be that we ought to pay attention. So we're paying attention to David and his life. And so last week in 1 Samuel 16, we looked at the anointing of David. And so that's where we ended last week. Let's just look back at the very end of 16.
I'm
going to use my iPad up here because it always goes crazy. The same thing that makes the mic go crazy up here makes my iPad go crazy. And at the end of 1 Samuel 16, 23, so whenever the Spirit from God would come upon Saul, David would take his lyre and play it. This would bring relief to Saul.
And he would feel better,
and the evil spirit would leave
him. Aflijaba a Saul. David tocaba el arpa.
Now, look at the beginning of 17. Like this quantum leap from there to here in 1 Samuel 17:1. The Philistines gathered their troops for battle.
Su para la batalla.
Saka in Judah. They camped in Ephes and Diamond between Saka and Azekah. So we jump from the anointing where the Spirit of the Lord had come upon David and had been removed from Saul. I guess removed from Saul and come upon David.
And the Spirit of Dios fue quitado de Saúl y fue transformado en el rey David.
Y David called in to play the lyre to help relieve.
Y David era quien venía a tocar la arpa para calmarlo.
And so we jump over now. Now we're in battle, or we're in
ahora estamos en
battle
batalla.
Formation anyway.
Están the listos para batalla. Los filisteos estaban en un lado, y los israelitas estaban en otro lado.
And it turns out this is not that long down the road from where we were. It's a few months, maybe, probably within the year, from when David was playing the lyre, and now Israelites, along with Saul, are out in this. On the battlefield. They're not fighting, they're just staring at each other. And so let's just read through some of this for just a minute. In verse 2, Saul and the Israelite army assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, where they arranged their battle lines to fight against the Philistines. By the way, earlier, far, much earlier, Saul had the chance of really routing the Philistines and being done with them. But in the midst of his disobedience and his doing it his way instead of God's, he failed to get that done. And so here they come back. It's not like they went to invade where the Philistines did. The Philistines came to take up, you know, to destroy
the Philistines. Vinieron a destruir a los israelitas. Es donde estamos ahorita en la historia. Los filisteos estaban en una montaña y los israelitas estaban en otra montaña. Y estaba un valle entre medio de los dos.
Throwing insults back and forth at each other. Except really, the insults were only going one way. We're going to find out here in just a second. This is the story of Goliath, by the way. You know that.
Es la historia de Goliath.
And remember, where did the Spirit of the Lord reside at this moment?
Reconocer dónde estaba el Espíritu de Dios. Estaba con David.
And David wasn't there.
David no estaba ahí.
So I want you to pay attention to the attitudes and the fear and the
pongan atención a las actitudes y el temor en el
while the Spirit of the Lord is not there.
Cuando el Señor no está ahí.
And it ought to give you and it gives me great appreciation for the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Que el Espíritu de Dios está aquí, está en nosotros, en cada uno de nosotros. Pero a veces nos olvidamos. Lo que trae.
So, pay attention to what it brings when David shows up. I'm just trying to get you to maybe look for new detail here. In verse 4, then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath.
He was from Goliath, un campeón filisteo.
He was close to 7 feet tall. Now, salió
de las filas de los filisteos para.
He's a big old boy. He was much bigger than anybody else around. He was much bigger than Saul. Saul was bigger than everybody else around him. Well, Goliath made Saul look small.
Some people say he's more like 9 feet tall.
All I know is he's big. He had a bronze helmet on his head. Oh, and by the way, well, I'll get this out of here. He had a bronze helmet on his head and is wearing scale body armor. The weight of his bronze body armor was 5,000 shekels. I'm not going to spend time.
Y su cota de malla hecha de bronce.
How much something weighs? Just realize it was heavy.
Parecía.
Okay. The numbers don't really matter at this point to me. At least maybe the numbers do matter. You know, detail is important to God. I'm not discounting that there might be some information there. I just don't have it. I don't have anything to add, except that the point is this stuff was heavy. He was like a tank. I mean, this big man covered in armor like a tank on the battlefield. Okay, in their day, that's what he was like. Almost impenetrable. Almost. He had bronze shin guards on his legs, and a bronze javelin was slung over his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer was walking before him.
Su lanza.
He had to have probably pretty hefty shield bearer just to carry his shield for him. By the way, you know, he had a javelin slung across his shoulder, and he also had a spear. You know the difference? This doesn't matter today. But I just made sure I understood. You know the difference between a javelin and a spear? A javelin, you know, like in the Olympics, they throw the javelin. It's all about throwing. A spear is a hand-to-hand combat weapon. It's got a big head on it. It's not something to throw. And he says the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That's not something you'd throw. It's something you would fight with hand-to-hand or face-to-face. It's a big spear. And not only the point is important, but using the shaft as well. But the javelin, light, throws a long way. And he's got it slung across his shoulder. In verse 8, Goliath stood and called to Israel's troops. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to jump over so you can have the same thing up there. I'll just read the King James. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, are you come out to set your battle in array? And not I, a Philistine, and you servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down with me. I want you to look at how he describes them and himself. The comparison. I am a Philistine, and
soy
you
un filisteo,
are servants to Saul.
y ustedes son
servidores. That's an insult in itself. He's not just saying, oh, y'all are the Israeli army, Israelite army. No, you are servants to the God who only come out.
Tú eres, son servientes que no van a salir. Yo soy un filisteo. Yo soy el campeón de los filisteos. Todavía le está enseñando de orgullo. Está haciendo gordura. Lo está insultando con cada respiro que él puede. Lo está insultando a los israelitas.
Then he's going to take your stuff. He's going to take your boys. He's going to take your girls. He's going to take
Samuel
your women.
Samuel había dicho, vas a ver la gente de Israel.
He did. And certainly, Goliath is right. Yes, you are servants to Saul. That's the truth.
Y Goliath, si tú, yo puedo decirles que son sirvientes para Saúl.
Then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Remember that little agreement. And realize that Goliath can be considered, you know, like sort of like Satan in this story. Evil.
Goliath no se puede comparar como Satanás porque Goliath era una persona muy terrible.
Make a deal with the people.
Goliath vino y hacer un trato con la gente.
If you can find the right guy to fight him, that... we don't all have to get bloody and hurt and everything. We can send one guy and have this settled out here, and everything will be good if we win. But what does Satan always do in the deal making?
¿Qué es lo que
what does Satan always
siempre?
Do when he speaks?
Cuando
he lies.
Se
he
ríe.
Doesn't know how to tell the truth.
Él no sabe cómo decir
he
la verdad.
A liar.
Es
un and
mentiroso.
So
y también
we'll
es Goliat.
And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.
Dame un hombre que podamos pelear.
When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Estaban
all right. I want you to, you know, always as we're doing this kind of study, put yourself in their place, you know.
Póngase
and also
en el lugar.
Ask the question, do I ever get in that place myself? Do I hear Satan speak to me? Do I confront evil? Do I have some obstacle in my way, something that's coming against me or whatever, and I get fearful? Yes. Yes, we all do. We all do. Sometimes we recover more quickly than other times. But yeah, it's a natural thing. Our natural man is alive. We have to keep slaying him and putting our spirit man in charge. We always have that battle that we slip off into our natural selves and get fearful. And sure enough, because the Spirit of the Lord did not exist, did not reside in that place, they got fearful. And well, they should have. Because until they showed up, there was plenty to be fearful of. Now David was a son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the
David
was
the hijo de
among men for an old man.
De Jesse.
Saul. Anyway, Jesse was an old man.
Hijos.
And
well, Jesse era un hombre ya mayor.
Old enough, he didn't have to go to battle, so he's back
tenía,
home.
Él,
and
era
this
bien
is just bringing up David's position again.
And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of his three sons that went to the battle were
Eliab, the firstborn, the next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. So, we have three of the sons at the battle already, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul in verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to his fathership at Bethlehem. Remember, in 16, David had been over there playing the lyre, but he was going back and forth. He would go take care of the sheep and come back and help, you know, play for Saul. He had left, and because they were not really in the place they were before at the palace or whatever where Saul resided, they're out on the battlefield. Now David is
estaba
back at Bethlehem, and he's taking care of the sheep.
Estaba en Bethlehem cuidando
David had been given a place
las
ovejas, in the court.
Los corderos.
The king has said, I want you here playing the lyre for me. But David also knew he had a responsibility over the sheep back home. He didn't elevate himself saying, I'm above taking care of the sheep now. I'm with the king. I'm going to hang around here. This is the place to be. We eat good, and I don't have to take care of stupid sheep. You know, sheep are the stupidest animals on earth, right? If you've never worked with sheep, you ought to. Just to learn that they're the dumbest animals around. Very sweet, you know, gentle, but man, they can be dumb. And so wouldn't you rather hang around the king's court than to go back and mess with the sheep? But David had a responsibility. He wasn't elevating himself and saying, I'm above that. He was back home tending his father's sheep. And And in 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Every day, twice a day, 40 days in a row.
Cada
Goliath came out
tarde,
and made
the Filisteo
cry.
Se pesaba,
insulting, threatening,
dándose
promising.
Aires delante
40 days.
El ejército israelita.
What else happened like for 40 days? New Testament. Any kind of threatening and tempting and all that. You remember that? Anything from the New Testament that ring a bell? Jesus
was
actually
tempted
in that condition as well.
Dios,
Satan came and
tempted
for 40 days.
Cuando el enemigo vino y tentó a Jesucristo por 40 días.
Figure out what the connections really are.
Hay una conexión ahí.
Today, the bread for you today, okay? Just pointing out the connection there. And Jesse said unto David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the
thousand.
Look how your brothers fare and take their pledge. So, once again, David is relegated to the menial delivery boy thing. Very low consideration. Here, put this on your back and run, take off. Get out of the battlefield. By the way, it's not like across the street. Nothing's across the street these days. You know, he has to travel from Bethlehem to this valley where they're listening to this giant insult them day and night. And so he not only takes stuff for the brothers, he takes some stuff for their captain. You know, just
no,
so now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and after the sheep with
David
the keeper, left the sheep with the keeper, he again did not neglect his responsibilities. You know, this guy, he's all about doing his job. He's obedient.
He
offers what he has where he is.
Él
and yet,
que
before
él
he
tiene,
leaves, he puts somebody else in charge.
Antes que se va,
and took and went
puso
as
alguien
Jesse had commanded. And he came to the trench
y sus
as the
abejas, y sus
was going
cabras
forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. In verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. He came and saluted his brothers.
Remember,
I kind of talked about this last week because of their attitude toward him. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion. The Philistine
hablaba con ellos,
Goliath,
el campeón,
out of the armies,
salió
and the Philistines spoke according to the same words,
tropas,
and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw
momento,
the man,
David,
fled from them and were sore afraid.
Lo escuchó gritar, y se
and the man of Israel said, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel, meaning he won't be taxed or obligated by the king, the household from which this man comes. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills the Philistines and takes away the Philistine takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies
desear a Israel y Él ha ofrecido recompensa cualquiera que lo mate. Así el hombre no era.
He came out, the Philistine came out proud and announcing, I'm a Philistine and your servant. And then David comes up and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What does it mean to be uncircumcised? It means you've got no relationship with the living God. You're not one of his people. You don't show the sign of the covenant. So who are you? And who do you think you are talking to us this way?
¿Quién eres tú y por qué platicas así? Él me estaba diciendo las cosas reales, pues él con las cosas, él era el único que
decía. Heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? This guy does nothing but insult his brother. That's kind of normal.
Hermano David lo insultó, estaba bien enojado con él. Le decía, ¿quién te crees tú?
Wasn't it in the last chapter where they described David when they said, I know a guy. Remember that plays the lyre. But they also mentioned what? That he was a warrior.
Dicen que también era.
That was mentioned. I've been all over the place, so I'm thinking I've got that right. So he's not a kid. He's not an older guy.
Niño,
he's not a kid. He has some stuff, even in the natural.
Cosas, también en natural.
So he's not some 9-year-old kid bringing cheese.
No, nomás
he's
es un año, un niño de 9 años traiendo
and
queso.
His oldest brother
él tiene.
Insults him and even insults his work.
Insulta su trabajo.
You know, you really got nothing to do back there anyway. Who'd you leave those sheep with? Those few sheep. There are times when our brothers and sisters do that to us. I'm not talking about natural ones. I'm talking about in Christ. They say stupid stuff. Because they're not being influenced by the Spirit of God. They have an opinion.
Nuestros hermanos y hermanas nos dicen cosas que no son verdaderas porque no son influenciadas.
It doesn't happen a lot, but when it happens, it hurts.
Con el Espíritu de Dios no pasa mucho, pero a veces sí duele.
But it's not uncommon. It's been around forever.
Pero no es común.
This is just an example in the natural.
Esto no más es un ejemplo por el natural.
I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart.
Conozco
for you to come down that you might see the battle.
Tu corazón.
He knows his pride. He's making stuff up. David's not a prideful man.
David no era
he's a hard worker.
Un
he left the sheep
orgulloso.
And
él era
under somebody else's care.
Bien,
he hauled cheese and stuff down to his brothers for their benefit.
Sus ovejas.
And he's just asking questions.
Que los cuidara.
The same questions that everybody else should have been asking.
Su papá y le llevó queso y provisiones a sus hermanos.
He just turns it around and says stuff that just isn't in alignment with reality.
Y que les dijo cosas que no eran de
Dios. Stupid thought that you can just come out and watch the battle because you're curious. No, he was being obedient. His father sent him.
And
he was being obedient
su
in what he was told to
mandó.
Do. Remember back when Saul had
Saul
the kingdom torn from him. What had happened?
¿Qué pasó?
His father, through the prophet, had told him what to do, and he was disobedient.
You know,
this
Saul
is just another example of the contrast between Saul
otro.
And David. That Saul didn't know how to be obedient. He would choose to sacrifice and make it up to God instead of just being obedient in the first place.
So siempre decía de sacrificar y ser desobediente.
And the corn. And go see your brothers. And come back and tell me how they're doing. Actually, if you look a little deeper into that, think of it as the parent, the father, sending the son and says, go check on them. When your kids are away from you, you start thinking maybe they're not doing right. I would like to see them. I'd like to know how they're doing and check on them. I'd not just to send them food. I'd like to check on them.
You know what I mean?
And I want to, because they're kids.
Porque son niños.
This guy's not a kid, but he's still a son. He's the eldest son, but he's still a son. And the father wants to know, is he doing right? And guess what? He's not. He's doing the same old stuff he always did with David. But anyway, just a little bit of that about what our father does. He checks on us. He sends provision.
Él nos manda provisión.
He wants to know that we're doing right.
Él quiere que estemos haciendo las cosas bien. Y David dijo, ¿qué he hecho yo ahorita?
Is there not a cause?
No hay un...
Again, just stating facts. And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner in 31. And when the words were heard,
y cuando las palabras fueron dichas,
they cursed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So Saul hears that David is asking all these questions.
There's
this guy that seems to ask different questions than all these fearful men have been doing.
Preguntas,
and so Saul sends for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with his Philistine.
Tu sirviente va a ir y va a pelear este filisteo.
And Saul said to David,
Saul le dijo a David,
you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him.
Pero no puedes ir contra este filisteo a pelearlo.
You're a youth, and this is a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul,
David dijo,
your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb, and out of the flock, took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He doesn't point out the strength of Goliath. He points out the strength of the man who has the Spirit of the Lord upon him.
And has full faith that that's all it takes.
No bigger, no harder to deal with than some animal.
Dice que no es como porque es un filisteo.
He does not have the Spirit of the Lord with him. But I do. He doesn't say that outright, but that is where the confidence and the faith comes from.
Eso no viene
David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear.
El Señor me libró de la de león y del oso. Y Dios me va a librar de esto.
Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head. Also,
y Saúl le dio su armadura a David.
This guy shows up, asking all the right questions, stating facts about who this guy is and who he's speaking to and what God can do. And he says, I'll go fight him. And then as soon as it's agreed upon, they go back to the old way. Okay, if you're going to go do that, let's do it the old way. The way these other guys would have done it if anybody had the courage to. They would have armored themselves and walked out like I would have. Oh, by the way, I should have. I'm the king. I'm the biggest and the greatest warrior here, except I no longer have the Spirit of the Lord on me, so I'm as fearful as they are.
Sí,
but I'll put armor on you, because that's the way we do it.
A ti. Eso es
the same guys that were fearful and trembling
los
and not even
temor,
thinking to approach Goliath.
No,
but we're
going to
put our stuff on you.
Pero vamos a poner nuestras cosas en ti.
You ever had that happen? That somebody wants to put their stuff on you,
okay,
this is the way it's done.
Es la cosa.
Forget
que
about
hacer
your giftings. This is the way it's done.
No, de tus.
And have you ever given in and been very, very uncomfortable
and
unfruitful and incapable of doing the work? I think probably most of us have. If you haven't been, you might be presented with that sometime in the future. You have to learn to be as David.
Tenemos que saber cómo ser como
when
David,
he says,
cuando él dice,
I can't go like this.
Yo no puedo ir así. Yo ni puedo ni moverme en esto.
No estoy. Let me show you how I do it.
Déjales, enseño cómo yo lo hago.
He had a sling and he had his
tenía
staff.
Una resortera y tenía
That's
un,
what he had out there
bardón.
When he killed the bear and the lion.
Es lo que tenía cuando mató el oso y el león.
Why do I need now to change to something I'm not accustomed to?
¿Por qué voy a tener que cambiar algo que no soy, que no
tools. He's given you skill. He's given you experience.
Dios
and it's for a purpose. And when you meet the giant in your life, you have all you need for life and
ese gigante de tu vida, tú tienes todo lo que tú necesitas.
He has given it to you. And don't think you have to go get some other man's gift and apply it if you don't have in the first place. Let that man operate in his gift with his armor and you operate in yours. He's given it to you. He's trained you in it. It may seem like a little bit to other people. It may seem like a little bit to you. But guess what?
Pero
if you're confronted with
si
those tools
con esas,
in your pocket and you're confronted
bolsas,
with something before you, you've got enough.
Tú tienes lo suficiente.
Why is it? Why
es
do you
eso?
Have enough? Because the Holy Spirit
Porque
empowers what
Santo
you've got. It empowers the little bit you've got. It empowered David. He was the one that had the Spirit of the Lord on him.
David
so yeah, he had
Santo,
enough with what he was accustomed to. He had killed the lion and the bear, and he didn't need the other guy's stuff. He had his own stuff. And God enabled it and empowered it and
Dios
gave him faith
y
to walk out there with it.
David tenía fe.
I'm going to kind of just paraphrase some more of this, some other parts of the story. All right, so he says, take this stuff off. I'm going to go like I am. Going to go like I know to go. Because it's so he goes out and he picks up five stones out of the brook. Five smooth stones.
All right.
I talked last night about this at prayer. Oh, why were there five? Well, there's lots of reasons that people write about that. I'll just tell you, I don't know. Except that I wouldn't just take one. If I'm going to go kill this giant, I don't know that one's going to do it. It may take two. I don't know. I got room in my bag for five. I'm taking five. It's a practical thing.
Es algo practical.
There may be lots of spiritual stuff that I'm not getting. Okay.
Hay muchas cosas espirituales.
If you get some stuff about five stones, you know, share it sometime. But I'll tell you, in practicality, got room for my bag for five. I'm taking five. If I'm going to climb a ladder and go nail stuff up on the top of the ladder, I need one nail somewhere. I'm not going to take one. I'm going to take a bag full of nails because I'm going to drop five and hit my thumb three times and then I'm going to finally get something nailed. So you take more than maybe you need. My God, he didn't have doubt. He had God's spirit upon him.
El
it wasn't
tenía,
doubt saying,
el
I don't know
Dios.
If I can do this one, two, three. It wasn't
tenía
doubt.
El espíritu de Dios.
People say that, oh my gosh, it's not doubt. He had absolute confidence in God doing what he needed to do that day. And so he picks up five smooth stones. Why smooth? Because that's the kind you use in a sling, okay? You know, that's it. They come out of the little pouch better. You know, you don't put a big, craggly old rock in a sling. That's not how it works. Get a smooth one. Five of them.
Piedras lisas.
That's what he did.
Y agarró cinco piedras.
Why was he so confident? Why was he ready just to set the armor aside and take what he knew to do, take his stuff that he knew how to use?
Y dejó esa armadura y,
it's the same thing that
he
had already been talking about
from
the very beginning. It wasn't his battle.
No era su batalla.
Whose battle was it in the first place? Who did he say the Philistine was insulting? God. Whose battle is it? And who has already won our battles?
¿Quién ha ganado
in our
batallas, en nuestra, en nuestra
God.
Dios,
the battle ¿verdad? Belongs to the Lord. And David
la batalla
knew. He knew
es el
the
Señor.
Battle belonged to the Lord.
Sabe,
kind of like when the spies were sent into the promised land to see what was there. They were fixing to enter the promised land. And they all come back. And all but two said, oh, there's giants over there.
Que Dios había
we can't do this. There are giants. Oh,
ay,
by the way, those giants
si no podemos hacer
were
eso.
The ancestors to this one. Okay? But it's the same level of faith. Those guys, two of them, Caleb and Joshua, say, But we can do it. We can go in. The other ten said, oh, no, we can't.
Pero lo podemos hacer. Vamos a entrar.
But they said, yeah, we can. I remember hearing this preacher a long time ago, just on video. He said something like, oh, there's giants in the promised land, but my God is a giant killer.
Pero mi Dios es un mata
gigantes. That's the faith David had.
Esa es la fe que David tenía.
Sure, he's a giant.
Sí,
right there,
he's
one on one. He's a giant, and I'm this, you know, little guy, relatively speaking. But my God is a giant killer, a giant slayer, and it belongs to Him. The battle belongs to Him.
La batalla es de
and
Dios.
So he goes in faith.
So él va en fe.
Like Joshua and Caleb. Caleb said, let's go now and take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it. More than able. Not just get by, but we should be more than able. Why? How can he say that? Because he recognized who had led them out of Egypt and had blessed them and provided and put them in his place and promised that to them. Remember I said, whatever he calls you to do, you've got what you need to do it, the tools, whatever, if there's opposition, he has enabled you through what he's given you, empowered it in you. Let me see where I am. And in the end of 40, he says he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, my dog that you come to me with
staves.
And the Philistine cursed David by
his
little G. Didn't matter, did it? Curse me all you want with the little g gods. You know, it's just words. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel,
who you have defied. El rey de los, del ejército de...
If Goliath Israelitas. Had any discernment whatsoever, he ought to be a little concerned.
Si David tenía but, cualquier you know, discernimiento, él fue, tenía que saber que él no sabía con quién él estaba platicando o con quién estaba insultando.
And take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts. Not just your carcasses, but the Philistines, all those guys behind you, I'll give to the fowls and the beasts, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why does God do what he does?
Porque hace Dios lo que hace.
We point to him.
Para que nosotros apuntemos a Él, para que le demos el crédito a Él y demos la gloria a Él. No, no más es porque es que yo quiero que conozcan que yo soy el Rey David. Yo quiero saber que hay un Dios en Israel y es lo que voy a hacer. Siempre preguntando a Dios, no levantándose Él, pero siendo
un... That He rises and steps back as needed. He's not always perfect. You know, obviously, way down, the story gets crazy with David. But he does have a heart for God. A man after God's own heart. He rises when the occasion calls for. He sets himself down and backs away when it doesn't. And he doesn't elevate himself. And here, he's not elevating himself. I'm going to be the hero of the Israelites. No, they will know that God, there is a God in Israel.
You want to say, que si hay un rey.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands.
Que el Señor los va a dar en nuestras manos. La batalla es el Señor.
When you face the giant,
cuando tú enfrentas ese gigante, no es tu batalla. La batalla es el Señor.
And you need to say so.
Lo tienes que decir.
He gets credit.
Cuando dices para darle gloria a Dios.
When the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. He hurried, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This is kind of a cool picture. You know, just the natural stuff. Like I said, this guy's like a tank, Goliath. He's this huge guy with all this armor. And, you know, he's not running toward David. He doesn't think he needs to, for one thing, but he can't. Remember how much all that stuff weighed. He's walking, and he's heading toward David. But David, without the armor, with only faith and the stone, he runs toward him. I'm not sure we're very good at that.
No sé si
running toward the enemy. I'm not sure we do that very well. I don't think I do. But I think we ought to. We shouldn't just wait on the enemy to come at his leisure and at his pace. But we should be guided, always guided by the Spirit of the Lord
siempre to go estar at his pace. Guiado por el Espíritu de Santo para estar en el paso del Señor.
Quickly approach
si
and confront.
Y para confrontar y para tratar con él y ser obediente. Es lo que está representando David. Y David agarró una piedra y le pegó en el filisteo en la pura frente. Y el filisteo se cayó cara abajo en la tierra.
But there was no sword in the hand of David.
So David no tenía una espada en
Therefore,
su mano.
David ran.
David corrió y paró arriba del filisteo y agarró la espada del filisteo y le cortó la cabeza al filisteo. Cuando los filisteos vieron que su campeón estaba muerto, ellos huyeron.
That wasn't a deal, was it?
No era.
There was a deal. Remember the liar in the beginning? There was a deal. If you kill me, we will be your servants. Satan's deals are always a lie. You're never going to get anything out of it. I don't care how good it looks. You're never going to get anything out of it.
Los tratos del diablo siempre son mentiras.
Remember, he's
nunca vas a ganar algo bueno de él.
No
puede ser nada pero echarte mentiras.
No, they're not going to lay down their weapons and say,
no,
okay,
van a
bajar
sus,
like where am I going to be a slave
sus armas
to you for the rest of my life?
No, they took off. Esclavos para ustedes. Ellos corrieron, huyeron, y los hombres de Israel y Judea.
And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharon, even unto Gath and unto Ekron, all the way to their city. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. They went and gathered all the stuff they left. They didn't pack up and leave. They left. And left their stuff, so they got that deal, that much out of the deal, but that wasn't the deal in the first place. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem.
And
he put his armor in his tent.
Y pero agarró su armadura y lo puso en su
so this wasn't like
casa.
The next 5 minutes. That part of the story was a long time. Okay, them chasing them down. This is a long way to these places and back to Jerusalem and all that. So it's a really compressed little story for a long period of time. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said,
And thy soul
liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire you whose son
Búscate, ¿quién es el hijo de él?
Is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines,
and David regresó,
and the Philistine Abner took him and brought him before Saul, the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. This is the same David that just not very long ago was playing the lyre for this same King Saul.
Es el mismo que estaba tocando la arpa para el rey Saúl.
Now he doesn't even know him.
y él ni lo conoce.
There are several things that kind of occurred to me, but one is, first of all, Saul is so self-absorbed and so tormented.
Que estaba tan tormentado
and so
que él no
concerned about his own well-being that he probably didn't even really pay attention much to this kid, except that he said he liked him and he wanted to have him around.
But didn't really care who he was.
Now he wants to know who this guy is.
Él quiere saber
well,
quién
it's the same guy
persona.
That played the lyre that kept the sheep back in Bethlehem. Abner didn't know him before, so give him a break. But Saul, so self-absorbed. But could it be that this man, this warrior David now, presents himself differently? Maybe he looks, you know, maybe he doesn't even look the same. I'm not talking about different facial thing, but he presents himself differently. And that Saul can't even imagine this is the same little shepherd guy that came and played the lyre. Surely not. But it wasn't that long ago, so yeah, surely yes. It was David. Men use people. Men and women of power use people.
Gente
and Saul
usa
used
personas.
David for his own purposes.
Saul
and again, was doing
David
it here, by the way.
Propios.
But it happened to work out for Saul this time because it was in alignment with God's will and God's plan, and God sending David to do the work that he did. So, I just want you to go back through that story in consideration this week. And I want you to consider every character in it. The big brother, the father,
hermanos,
Saul,
Saul,
Goliath, all the men who are fearful.
Todos los men que tenían temor.
Just consider all of them.
Consideren
maybe
todo
put yourself
eso.
In their place and say, have I been here before?
Póngase en ese lugar.
Have I been fearful?
Si yo he estado en este lugar, yo sé, yo he tenido temor.
Have I been an accuser?
Si he sido yo un acusador.
All the things that you see in these other characters.
Pues que has visto en otros características. No los juzgues.
Maybe there's some correction we need.
Pero hay corrección.
Porque hay sanctified more in us. If we'll just let
estar santificado nosotros en esas características de esas personas
and speak to our hearts
nuestros corazones
mixture in excusing ourselves but let it just speak be honest let it be honest in you okay but mostly look at David
miren a David
and strive for that level of faith because the same
porque
Spirit of the Lord that was on him
es el mismo Espíritu que está en David está el mismo Espíritu que está en nosotros el mismo Espíritu
and when we face the lying devil
cuando enfrentamos al
because it's not our battle
porque no es nuestra batalla la batalla es el Señor. Oremos.
Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that the battle does belong to you. That Jesus Christ has been victorious over all things for us, for our sake, and that we walk in faith, knowing that, believing that, trusting that, as we walk through our daily lives, Father, when we are confronted by the liar, by the attacker, by the accuser, Father, let us always turn to you and say the battle belongs to you. And give you credit for the victory when it comes. In Jesus' name, amen.